certainly great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being here. I am not only excited about those who are with us in this room, but those who have tuned in virtually as well. So we'd like to welcome all of those who are worshiping with us this morning, both through our live stream and also through our physical worship here. It is a blessing to be able to do this. It's a blessing to be able to be here. Certainly, we want it to be normal circumstances, but isn't it encouraging to know that in all the most abnormal times as we could possibly imagine right now, we can still worship a God who's constant, worship a God who's on the throne, worship a God who has overcome all things for us. He is the conqueror. He is Yahweh. He's Jehovah. He's the one true living God. I am excited about our lesson today, but before I get into our lesson, I do have a message from the Wilks. Good morning, Brother Jim and Sister Glenda. Glad you're able to join us through live stream. They have a good friend of their family, Gene Youngblood. So the Youngblood family, Gene Youngblood, lost his battle to COPD this morning. And so if you would, please remember, add to your prayer list the Youngblood family. A lot of folks are sick. A lot of folks will be getting sick. I think that's the reality of where we are. We certainly want to remember those that we mentioned this morning. But today, in our time together, what I want to talk with you about is something that Justin and I really talked about. You lose track of how many Wednesday nights and Sundays we did together and such, but it was some Wednesdays ago or Sundays ago that we talked about through our live stream when none of us were able to be here. We talked about commitment. We talked about Malachi. And so I'm going to kind of follow up on that. Again, our theme this year is focus. And we're talking about being focused. Again, 2020, I spoke Wednesday night over at Scenic Hills Church of Christ, and their theme as well is Focus 2020. And man, you want to talk about a very fitting theme in a time when we didn't have any idea when there would be this many distractions, this many uncertainties, this many upheavals in our lives and others' lives. Man, now more than ever, is it not critical for us to be focused on the cross? Focused on our commitment to the cross? And so with that, I want to talk with you again, following up a little bit in Malachi of what Justin and I talked about weeks ago now, about being committed to God. You see, our commitment to God matters. Because you think about how committed He is to us. God is so committed to us that even when we fouled it up, even when we messed everything up, He sent Jesus Christ to make a way out. And so listen, there are a lot of things we could talk about today, and I've talked about different topics that are in the news and different things, and we've done that on podcasts and such, but I'm trying to get a little bit of normalcy back. And so I really want us in this strange time to really focus now on the words that we're going to talk about today, God's words, not mine, on how important it is for us to be committed no matter where we are, whether we're in our homes or whether we're in these pews. We've got to be committed. There was an author who wrote this in regards to commitment. Honoring your commitments is part of your character. It's a quality that attracts people to you and enhances your relationship and opportunities. Failing to honor your commitments will tarnish your image and have a negative effect on your reputation. It can create a barrier to personal achievement and erect a roadblock against success. By honoring your commitments, you create a strong foundation that will support you and your endeavors. As a result, you will be recognized as a person of integrity and character, someone others can trust. Now, I'd love to sit here and tell you that I've honored every commitment I've ever made. Just this last week, on Thursday, I had someone coming to me for counseling. And because of some other things that came up, I had to move that appointment to Monday. Some would look at that and say, well, you didn't honor your commitment. Now, we were both in an understanding on that. However, that's not what I'm talking about. We made arrangements. Sometimes things come in life that are out of our control, that maybe we can't honor our commitment from a standpoint of keeping an appointment, like going to the doctor or something like that. That's not really where I'm coming from today. I'm talking about when we were immersed in water for the remission of our sins, when we put to death our old self, when we contacted Jesus Christ's blood, we entered into a commitment. We entered into a relationship. And so that commitment of our relationship to God is what I'm really focusing on. We need an army of people around us, right? We need an army of people around us that are committed to God. Not committed to social media, not committed to certain movements, not committed to certain political parties. We need people in our lives that are committed to walking with Jesus Christ. See, the rest of that will take care of itself. If I look at others through the eyes of Christ, I'll see no race. If I look at others through the eyes of Christ, I'll look past indifferences. I'll look past these things. But when I lose my focus and I lose my commitment, then guess what? Then I get wrapped up in what the world says. I get wrapped up in other things that at the end of the day, what matters is what side of the cross am I on? What side of eternity am I on? I want you to take this mental test. Do we, number one, honor the commitments we make at work? What happens if you don't? Well, you don't work anymore, at least at that job. Number two, do we honor the commitments we make to our families and friends? Do we keep the promises we make to them? Do we honor commitments we make to ourselves? Do we honor, here's the big one, the commitments we have made to God? You see, what happens along the way is sometimes we have broken commitments. The worst one we could break today is our commitment to God, our commitment to Him. Now, I'm not talking about tuning in for an hour, 45 minutes or so on our live stream. I'm not talking about being here for worship and saying that's enough. I'm talking about being fully committed to God. In Malachi's day, the people of Judah, the priests now led the way in this, the supposedly most religious of them all, right? They led the way in this. They had failed to keep their covenant agreement with God. This is in Malachi's day. We're going to be in the book of Malachi today. You know what they did? They treated God with disrespect. They dishonored His name. Do you see any of that happening today? Do you see any of that going around? Do you see people getting wrapped up in things that dishonor God and bring dishonor to Him? Listen, I said this in class, and I'm going to say it until I guess I'm out of air. I said it Wednesday night over at Scenic Hills. I am not concerned about the church failing. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 16, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But I am concerned about the local churches. I am concerned about churches locally being opened anymore. Because why? The devil has done everything he can to drive us away. That's why we've got to work really hard today on being committed. Some haven't been able to be here and will not be able to be here for some time. I mean, we have a third of our attendance even in this room today. Our normal attendance. And so with that mindset, we've got to work extra hard not to get, and you think, oh, it won't happen to me. Did you hear who led the charge? It were the priest that led the charge in Malachi's day to treat God dishonorable. They treated sacred things as common. They turned away from God's law. They disobeyed His commands. It started with the priests leading the charge. Some men divorced their Jewish wives, breaking their vows to marry pagan women. Malachi, you know what he did? He provided a very, very strong rebuke from God. In fact, he presented several reasons why the Jewish people were to honor their commitments. And we need to draw lessons from those as well. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Malachi 2, please. Malachi 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 7 together. And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, And if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you. And I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feasts, and one will take you away with it. Then you will know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and turned away many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Now, suppose for a moment this morning I came up here and I provoked, I came from a standpoint of promoting different hate groups, and I came up here and I promoted parties of things that were against God's will. You all, because of your commitment, because of your faith, you would run me out of here, and rightfully so. But after a while, if we get enough people start wearing that down, guess what the devil will do? He will get people to turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They will give up for themselves because of their desire for itching ears, and because it tickled their ears, they will give up the truth for a lie. And that's why we've got to be so, so careful. The more time we're away from people, the more time we're away from a group of people that can encourage us, man, it really starts to work on our focus. So here's some things that we learn in Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. First of all, we must be obedient. God desires for us to listen and to obey. Listen to verse 2 again. If you don't listen, and if you don't take it to heart to honor my name. God said, I want you. I gave you two ears for a reason. I gave you two ears more than one mouth, right? We need to doubly pay attention and listen to the Word of God. We need to listen to what He says. It's one thing to believe something is true. It's another thing to obey it. James reminds us this. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We might believe the Bible is true. We might believe the Bible says this, but we might get comfortable and not do it. See, that's a very dangerous thing. Young Samuel. You remember when Samuel was a young boy and Hannah had dedicated him back, and so he's spending time with Eli the priest. He provided a great model for us all to mimic. After hearing God's voice in the middle of the night, and finally he thought it was Eli, and Eli's like, go back to sleep, that wasn't me, and he hears it about three times, and there at the end, finally Samuel responded this in 1 Samuel 3:10, speak, for your servant is listening. Are we listening today? What are we listening to? You know, I've said this now, I guess every week I've been back up here. Sometimes I have to basically weed out of my life certain things that I can get wrapped up in. You know, I might get wrapped up in Twitter and I see this and I get aggravated, or Instagram or Facebook or whatever it may be, and we get and you know, I take that in and I catch myself getting frustrated, and you know what I got to do? I got to purge that out of my life, because I don't need to listen to that. I need to listen to the one who's calling my name, who wants my commitment, who wants my focus. You see, can we say that now? Can we say, Lord, your servant is listening? Are we listening to God? Are we obeying His instructions? Are we honoring our commitment to Him? You see, when it comes to obedience, I need to also see in all this, number one, that I need to revere God. If you go back and you look at verse 5, my covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. He's talking about Levi there. Why did he stand in awe of God? Because God is amazing. You remember when Isaiah went before God and it was before his call to God, and he's standing there and he thinks, you know, hey, I'll go do it, and I'm willing to do this. And then all of a sudden he sees God and he says, whoa, I'm an unclean man, because that's how holy God was. When I stand before God and I submitted my life to God and I became a Christian and I decided to walk with God, you know what I need to do? I need to revere Him. I need to treat God as who He is. He is God. He's Yahweh. He's the Creator. He's the one who delivered us. We need to live with a high view and enormous respect for God and His holiness. Many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we play games with God. We compromise, we stay away, we live the life we want to live. See, that's very dangerous, my friends. When God called us home, when He called us to a different walk, that's exactly what it needed to become. It needed to become a different walk. We can't do it our way anymore. We can't have it our way. You know, now, again, we're living in a time when, again, I get concerned about, yeah, I mean, there are people that have sickness, and there are people that have hatred, and there are people that have all this, but that's not what, again, I'm concerned about sin, and I'm concerned, but what I'm mainly concerned about is our walk with God. Because if today our walks with God are in check and our commitment to God is in check, then guess what? The worst thing that can happen to me today is I go to heaven. That's a pretty comforting thought process. You see, in order to do that, God made the way. So what do I do to Him? I need to revere Him. But also, we learn in this that we need to receive truth. Verse 6, take instruction. True instruction was in His mouth, and no wrong was found on His lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and He turned many from iniquity. Some people do not take instruction very well. You may have encountered those kind of people. You may be one of those kind of people. Some people don't like to be instructed. But I'm going to tell you right now, if we don't like instruction, then we don't need to be committed to God. Because we want His instruction. We want Him to guide our lives. The Father really does know best. So what do I need to do? I need to maintain a daily intake of the Bible. I mean, I can't just go on a few minutes that I hear in a sermon on Sunday or a class on Sunday. I've got to have a daily intake of truth. God's Word needs to penetrate our hearts. It needs to penetrate our lives. A failure to teach and to receive the truth from God's Word sets the stage for a weak faith, weak obedience, and a broken commitment to God. Thirdly, I need to have righteous living. Verse 6 again, He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and He turned many from iniquity. Walking righteously, walking upright, it means that we can't bow down to the world. You know, it gets real easy sometimes to get wrapped up in this and wrapped up in that. And I may think I'm doing good. Okay, I talked this morning in the little class that we had on John 8. In John 8, the people that brought the stones in. You remember them? This is the adulterous woman. In John 8, the people that brought the stones in. I know we rightfully, forgive the pun, beat them up, okay? We do not, rightfully they were wrong. Does that make sense? However, in their heart of hearts, I do not believe they just loved killing people, nor do they love just trying to trick somebody. They were convicted to the law, at least the way they knew the law, and they thought, hey, this guy's a lunatic, this Jesus. So what I'm trying to tell you is I believe their motives were what they believed were good. I do not think that what they were doing was good. But I believe their motive, like Paul, his motives out of what he thought was good. Sometimes we can have the right motives and still carry stones. Sometimes we can have the what we think is the right heart and still throw stones. Listen to this as plainly as I can put it. Basically, because God put it this way. As Christians, we can't throw stones. We can't pick a side and just attack other people. Even if I think my motives are the best. Folks, we are called to be different. We are called to act different, to talk different, to live righteous. The world would want nothing more than for us as Christians to crumble down and walk and talk like them. But that's not who we are. We can't be that way. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. As we continue on, we look in this and we've got to understand that we represent God. Look at verse 7 again, Malachi 2. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Now, I appreciate George and David giving a reference to me this morning in their class. They said that I've said from this pulpit many a times, if I'm cutting my grass on Monday, I'm the same guy that just preached the sermon on Sunday. Listen, and that's who I want to be. I want to be real with you. I want you to know that what you see here is what you're going to get. I'm not going to wear some facade or some mask. I'm not going to cover up who I am because I'm proud of who I am. Not proud in a bad way, but I'm proud that I belong to the King. And I'm proud that He directs my steps. And I'm proud that I'm going to give Him the glory. But here's the thing. Not all of us, all the time, can say we're always representing God. But we ought to be. We ought to be. There are people that have stayed away from God. Now again, that's on them ultimately. But there are people that have stayed away from God because they say, hey, there are too many hypocrites to go to that church. Or I might go to church on Sunday and sing Amazing Grace and then curse God's name on Monday. You see, that's not representing God. And before you say, well, Terry said the priest, you got that right. We're all priests today. If we're committed to God, we are priests today. I just happen to be the hired evangelist of this church, but I'm a priest just like you're a priest. I'm a saint just like you're a saint. I'm a Christian just like you're a Christian. And we've got a responsibility to uphold God. We are ambassadors for the King. That means we've got to represent the King. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. In order to be obedient, we've got to honor God. We've got to study His Word. We've got to be the ecclesia. We've got to be messengers in the world. I'm going to give you quickly three things that I think will help us. I know I've already given you like four, but hey, just stay with me, all right? First of all today, what can I do to better myself? What all those things that Malachi just pointed out, when it comes to my commitment to God, to being reverent to Him, to representing Him, to doing all those things, when it comes to all that, what are some things I can do to better? Here's number one. I got to recognize the alternative. Malachi, and I appreciate it, did not sugarcoat the situation. He went right to the heart. Listen to Malachi 2 verse 2 again. If you don't listen, and if you don't take it to heart to honor my name, says Yahweh of hosts, I will send a curse among you, and I will curse your blessings. In fact, I have already begun to curse them because you are not taking it to heart. Now I want you to know that Malachi, is the last words from God for 400 years to the Jewish nation before John the Baptist is out in the wilderness speaking about the coming Messiah. Okay? 400 years pass between Malachi and John the Baptist. These were pretty important words for them to hear. You know the old song that we sing, "Get Right Church and Let's Go Home"? That would have been an appropriate invitation after verse 2. You better get right, church. You better get right, people. Because the alternative is not good. The alternative is not where I want to be. You see, if I'm not committed fully to God, but I'm committed fully to social media, and I'm committed fully to the news, and I'm committed fully to my political party, and I'm committed fully to whatever else, then shame on me. But I want you to know something. That's not a church problem. Oh, well, the church, they didn't smile at me like they should have. They didn't do this for me. They didn't do that for me. How about instead of saying, what has the church done for me, ask, what have I done for the church? You see, sometimes people look at the church as an ATM. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. What can the church do for me? I want this and I want that. And we ain't put one deposit in the church. Think about that. Guess who else's problem it's not? Now, it's a concern of theirs, but it's not their problem and it's not their cause. It's not the elders' problem. It's not the elders who's causing this. I think we've got great men who shepherd this flock. Man, they've been caught between a rock and a hard place like all church elders have. There's so many things going on right now rocking our country and the way we know is normal. Are they perfect men? Absolutely not. But if my commitment's lacking, it's not because of them. It's not a brother or sister problem. Could we all do better? Probably, right? We could all step up our game. But if somebody has lost their commitment, it's not your brother and sister in Christ fault. It boils down to being a heart problem. As they pointed out, our brother Larry always says. It's a heart problem. Today, if my commitment's not where it needs to be, it's a heart problem. If I don't want to keep my commitment, that's up to me. But don't be surprised when we end up in the pig's pen. Just like the prodigal son did in Luke 15. The warning is clear. Failing to honor our commitments will damage our ministry to others. And it will also put a major strain on our relationship with God. Secondly, I need to recognize the alternative, but I need to remember the blessings. Malachi provided several spiritual benefits to honoring the commitment to God. He wrote this, Malachi 2:5, "My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave these to him. It's called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name." Life and peace was the Lord's covenant to us. You know what? He said he'd give that to us. He'd give us life and he'd give us peace. And that's what we get through Jesus Christ. We get life and we get peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Is there a lot of conflict going on today? Certainly it is. You know, God's opened the door to me when it comes to counseling. I am now counseling several people from Montgomery to locally, okay? Montgomery just happens to be through Zoom. But we're doing all that. Every week I've got counseling going on. And it's a blessing, but it's also sad to me. Because there are a lot of people hurting. And by the way, that's not getting any better. Okay? There are going to be continued things going on. But you know what? Let's say somebody comes to me and their relationship problems. They're having a husband and wife relationship problem, a marriage problem. Guess what? Most of the time, that conflict could be resolved by that commitment to God. Now, that's not every time, like mental health and different things like that, but a lot of times, if there's conflict, the only way to get that peace is through Jesus. The only way to get that peace is through Him. So if I've got conflict at my job, now again, I can't make your whole job godly, but we can make me godly. You can make you godly, right? We can look at it through the eyes of God. If I got conflict with other people over everything else that's going on in our world today, then I need to take a deep, hard look at me and remember how much I've been blessed. And I need to remember how that I want that peace in my life. You see, without honoring our commitment to God, we will be miserable people. Most miserable. God is waiting not to punish us, not to kill us, but to shower us with blessings. And then finally this morning, and I really like this point from Malachi, we got to raise some boundaries. If I want to be fully committed to God, focused on my commitment, we got to raise some boundaries. Malachi provided this advice. And this is Malachi 2, verses 15 and 16. Now, we haven't read this morning. So watch yourselves carefully and do not act treacherously against the wife of your youth. Therefore, watch yourselves carefully and do not act treacherously. You know what that gives the idea? If you look at the original wording there, what he's saying with that mindset, with that phrase, is we need to hedge ourselves with thorns. You ever, when you were a kid, man, those bushes, and we've got them at my house. One day I'm going to pull them all up, but I got to do it because they hurt. You know, those bushes that poke you, you know, but you hit the ball into those bushes. Not it, you know, going to get the ball. Why do we not want to go in there? Because they're thorns and they're spiky things and everything else. We don't want to go in there because it's going to hurt, right? That ball's like, okay, you're not coming to get me. You're not going to hit me again because I'm in these thorns and I'm safe. Well, guess what? That's what Malachi's saying. He's saying, you want to be fully committed, then put a hedge around your heart. You put the crown of thorns around your heart. You put this hedge around your heart. And you know, he's speaking about marriage. That's certainly very applicable there, though. You don't want the devil to penetrate your marriage, then put a hedge of thorns around it. Put Jesus Christ's crown of thorns around it. The principle, though, applies to all components of our life. It applies to our commitments. If I do not want my commitment from God, my commitment to God, to be penetrated by the devil, then I've got to do what it takes to put boundaries up, to put hedges up, to put thorns around me so that the devil can't get in. Can I make this statement? I alone am responsible for my life. I will stop blaming, rationalizing, and excusing my failure to honor my commitment. I'm going to say it one more time. Can we make this statement? I alone am responsible for my life. So therefore, I will stop blaming, rationalizing, and excusing my failure to honor my commitment. In conclusion, I want to remind us all, we have a God who honors His commitment. He keeps His promises. He fulfills His word. When we choose not to quit, when the going gets rough, when we choose to serve others and not serve ourselves, when we put the church in the proper priority, We then can safely say we keep our commitments. And it's then and only then that we are the most like God. Today, how's your commitment? How's your focus? If we had a discussion today on masks, a lot of people would have an opinion. If we had a discussion today on COVID, a lot of people would have an opinion. If we had a discussion today on racism, a lot of people would have an opinion. But at the end of the day, what God really wants to know is where do we stand with Him? Are we fully committed? Whether I'm at home, whether I'm here, am I willing to do whatever it takes to make sure I've not lost my focus, I've not lost my commitment, and I am still a child, a priest, a saint of the King? Today, if you haven't become a Christian and you'd like to do so, you can be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. But if today, if you need to make a public response or you need to respond in your seat, we encourage you right now to do it as together we stand and sing.